to be a citizen of the kingdom of God in the new heavens and the new earth. Father, we thank you for that, that is the hour in which we live, and we appreciate it. We pray tonight you'll help us in whatever study you set before us, whatever questions. We pray you'll give us grace and understanding, Lord, because we have to lean upon you, and we're glad that we can lean upon you, knowing that in your presence all things are possible. And we thank you for the possibility, therefore, tonight to know these mysteries which we are supposed to know, Lord, the things that we have been instructed in, which are so vital to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have them and can know them with your help. Now guide us and direct us in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Sort of still in Melchizedek, who is this Melchizedek, making this number 34 with questions and answers. But just before we get to some questions which I have here, I want to go back to page 23, paragraphs 115 to 117. And we have Brother Branham bringing us thoughts on predestination and its effect on Paul in paragraph 118. And he says, everything's in threes, natural births in threes. What's the first thing happens to a woman having a baby? What breaks first? Water. What breaks next? Blood. What's next process? Life. Water, blood, spirit. What happens in the plant? Rots. What's the first thing? A stalk. What's the next? A tassel. And the next is the shuck, or the chaff. Then the grain comes out of that. Just the three stages of it till it gets to the grain. As you notice, grain is number four. And it's actually not counted, evidently, a part of the plant. But it's going to be produced therein. God vindicates that. That's always been right. God vindicates it to be true. Shows plainly the predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Do you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. People might be making like think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to buy back. Is that right? To redeem something, to redeem anything, is to bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah. So it's only the predestinated will be brought back because the others didn't come from there, see, to bring back. Being eternal with him in the beginning, the eternal life that you had, his thought of what you were, only what he wanted you to be. He wanted me to stand in the pulpit and say he wanted you to sit in the seat tonight. Then we are serving his eternal purpose. The one that left home only came to the earth to serve his purpose. Is that right? All right. Then after it's finished, it's brought back in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. No wonder Paul could say when they were building a block to chop his head off, he said, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory." He said, "Death, tell me where you can make me holler. Grave, tell me how you're going to hold me, for I'm possessor of eternal life." Amen. He recognized it. Death, hell, grave could not hold him. Nothing can hurt us. We've got eternal life. He realized he was blessed with eternal life. Now, what I'm trying to bring to your attention in all of this is Matthew 25, 1 to 13, and Matthew 25, 31 to 46. So, we'll go back there just for the time being and look at it. The white throne judgment, that's part of it here. But first of all, you notice 25, 1 to 13, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there is a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." So actually, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord," that's the 5 foolish, "open to us." And he answered and said unto them, "I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Then beginning at 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. And the king shall send them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you notice he doesn't call them sheep or goats. He says, as a shepherd does them. For I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we hungry, fed thee, or thirsty, gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto the least, the one of the least, these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he send unto them on the left hand, depart me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared them his angels. I was an hungry, you gave me no meat, thirsty, you gave me no drink, strange, you took me not, and naked, you clothed me not, sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they answer, also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or naked, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, did not minister to thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch he did it not unto the least of these, he did it not unto me. And these shall go into everlasting punishment, the righteous into life eternal. Now you notice right in here that immediately you have a difference in who these people are, even though they will go into eternal life. Because in the first instance we read of the wise virgins coming out to meet him, and certainly therefore recognized him and were in the marriage supper. These have nothing to do with it. They did not recognize him, period. But they did recognize the value of those who were his. And they didn't really understand, but they recognized, and they did minister. And in ministering to those of the Lord, they were allowed to enter into life eternal, which you're looking at there as the understanding that we have for the bride, which is eternal Zoe, human form, a glorified form, which they would certainly have. Now, taking these scriptures together in the first set of scriptures in 25:1-13, we have a divorce. Then we have a wedding supper. And the question is then concerning the wise and the foolish virgin. Now, you'll notice that the foolish virgins are the ones that are divorced. And if you look over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, you get a pretty good understanding of them. For it says here, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you to godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now you'll see they were espoused, which positively and truly was evidently a marriage vow. And just like, fear not to tempt thee, Mary, marry thy wife, because that which is to be born of her is of the Holy Ghost. So there was an espousal here. There was a legitimate engagement. There was a contract that Paul had entered into with these people in Jesus Christ by reason of the gospel that he preached. And he said, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So you can understand why Brother Branham always preached that one word, Eve did not disbelieve in God, but she did not really believe God because she believed the serpent, and she deviated from the word and went to a wrong revelation. And therefore he said when she got from behind the word is when she got into trouble. And of course, people like to look in terms of an act, and they say, well, that person is a very fine person. He might not really believe the way we believe, but he's a very fine person, so we'll give him the keys to the kingdom. Well, you see, that's a lot of ridiculous nonsense. The girl positively lost instantly she was gone. Never mind the act. If she had not deviated from the word, and that's how you look at this word body, the spirit body that you bypass. There'd be no way that in a spirit body or word body, because that's another term, could you have possibly been in disbelief. There's no way. You could not have deviated. But having not been in that body, and her also, Eve being outside the original creation, she would be the one that would be tempted and would fall, because evidently Adam could not fall concerning the temptation. But because she was already his wife, he stuck with her. Now he said, notice here, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through its subtlety, so her mind, your mind, is corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now we know what she did, of course, because you don't get pregnant eating apples. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense in the world. They try to tell us that this little girl ate an apple or something, you know, did some little thing. That is not true at all, because you can know positively that that's not the way it goes. The worst she could get would be a stomachache eating a green apple, but it would never bring forth children. Now, what I'm driving at is in verse 4, you will understand that spiritual fornication is a deviation from the word. It says, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and they sure did. They made him God the Son instead of the Son of God. How can you make him God the Son when he's the Son of God? You can't do it. It's like brother, this eternal sonship is hogwash, as Brother Branham said, because sons have beginnings. Even though legitimately, a part of the original stream of life, it does not make the son the originator. The father is. So the father has a son. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, Jehovah of the old, Jesus of the new. Or if you receive another spirit. Now they got a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He won't work. You got to have that which is from God to water what is of God. It can't be otherwise. You try to pour spirit upon a plant and not water, that plant's going to die. I don't care what you do. The plant is uniquely qualified to receive what is for the plant. So every seed of God is uniquely qualified to receive what is for that plant, which is from God, which is the benefit of the Holy Spirit, the life, watering the life that's in us, and coming by the Word. Now that's just plain positive language. Now they seem to think a spirit came out of God, making now Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is ridiculous. Another spirit, which you have not received. Or another gospel. See? So you're looking at the fact that the minute the people left the Word, they manufactured their own concept of the Godhead and the gospel. Well, you're finished. So, Paul is speaking here now of these that were espoused. See, what happened? They evidently lost what was necessary to give them whatever it took in order to get them to him on the day of his appearing ready for the wedding supper. Seven church ages. They never had it. What was it? Word. Wrong word? No Holy Ghost. An anointing? Sure. But you see, he never had it. Like Brother Branham said, they got as far. Justification, sanctification, never received the Holy Ghost. But they're saved. They come up in the second resurrection. Now, you're looking at the word here. These foolish virgins are divorced. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the word catching up can also mean divorce. So before there is a rapture, there's got to be a divorce. Because God's not going to take along excess baggage and a bunch of women getting in his way at his honeymoon. Any more than a man would. You don't take your mother-in-law along, or your wife's sister, unless you're completely stupid. You think that's going to happen, the wedding supper of Christ? I mean, look, you even humanize this thing, you can see how stupid people look at things. There cannot be a wedding supper until the divorce. Now, if you believe Brother Branham to be a vindicated prophet, and you believe that means anything at all, it's over. The divorce has taken place. The separation from the two elect groups is completed. And the cry went out, the shout pronounced, which was a message, and particularly to the bride, you are the spotless, virtuous, virgin wife of the Son of God. You didn't even do it. Now, in the Greek, the word foolish, first of all, was used for talking about nerves. Dull and sluggish. Dull and sluggish. When you speak about nerve, now that's a nervous system. Now, the nervous system is sensible to or sensitive to the senses. So that you've got a group of people here that were not sensitive to the hour or to what was going on. They just couldn't hack it. Now, you can't begin to place them in Hebrews, the 5th chapter. This is not exactly Hebrews 5 and 11 to 14, of whom many things, we have many things saying hard to be understood, seeing you're dull of hearing. See, they're dull. They're not sensitive. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracle of God, to become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, you'll notice that the Ephesian church, though had a perfect gospel and a perfect start, was still in the babe age or sequence. That's where they were. They were not qualified in this first age to receive the revelation of Melchizedek because the Bible says so. Now, strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Now, full age to the Gentile can only come when Israel is back in the homeland. Because the fullness of the Gentile, the last ones coming into a bride, determine the position of Israel. So we're now at the end time because Israel back in the homeland. The clock is maybe almost on midnight. We're struck there. So, that's the same hour as the coming of the Lord. In the rapture and after the rapture. So there'll be a people who can take strong meat. And the Bible says their senses will be exercised under righteousness. They've gone through everything in the trials, and the great part is the mind, to where they've been exercised by their senses under righteousness, they can tell something's going on. They know something. Their senses will not get in their way. They know something is moving, and they're very happy to have it moving. Now, these people that are dull, they are like in majority. Now, they're foolish virgin there as well as serpent seed. Understand that. They are like those in John 6 and in John 8. When they said, well, you talk like a goofy, crazy man. Who's trying to stone you for a good work? We know the works are good. Now, they knew, therefore, at that time, they would have to come from God if they're good works. Because they wouldn't stone them for a work that came to, unless it came from the devil. But they said, the trouble is that you made yourself equal with God. So, therefore, their senses were completely dulled. Their nervous circuits were completely dulled. They were not in a position to know the things of God. See, now you got the two classes in there. You got the serpent seed, and you got the foolish virgin. And you notice what definitely happened at the end time of the time of Christ. The serpent seed could turn completely on God, turned right against Him. Now, in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, it tells of another group, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't know it. They're completely dull and deadened as to what is truly going on. Now, between the serpent seed and the foolish virgin, you'll know that the foolish virgin is aware in a degree of something going on. The others also know something is going on, but they repudiate it and turn right back. And the foolish virgin is in the same boat, because she cannot go on, because the word is not in her, whereby she can receive a full revelation by the Holy Ghost concerning that word. Now, they're dull and sluggish in their nerves. Next of all, they're dull and sluggish in their mind, which now makes them foolish or stupid. And that's why they're called the foolish virgin. Now, if you go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, let's look at something here. 13 and 14. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, let's look at the picture. This is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather light because their deeds are evil. So they won't come to the light. So you've got a people here wherein the prophet comes on the scene, and what he does is a light. And it makes manifest that something is going on. Now watch the next thing. Wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, 10 virgins. See? Arise from the dead, amongst the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. But the five foolish don't get to him. That pillar of fire doesn't mean a thing. And the angelic manifestation doesn't mean anything. Even they cannot get it. And the ridiculous serpent seed positively turn on it, and before it's over, the bride of the wise virgins are gone. The foolish virgins will be destroyed. And notice in here, it says, see, then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The warning, once more, to the saved that are justified and sanctified, you better watch out for yourself. And they're the ones that are going to say, hey, wasn't something supposed to happen? It's already happened. They'll die for it. Because they will not go the way of the Antichrist. They'll be hunted down worse than dogs and everything else. Now it says, redeeming the time because the day is real. In other words, you begin to buy what is left. I see the foolish virgin miss it entirely. But they're going to be up there at that last day, at the tail end. Now, this is pre-rapture. And it's in progress right now. The separation of the wise and foolish. Now, Brother Branham said the wise, the foolish are in organization. I don't believe for 1 minute that excludes people around us. I believe there are many people who see, like I can trace back, and I can absolutely prove and document to you by their sermons and by their writings, that right at the time of Brother Branham's demise, they were fully aware of the appearing at the river. And one man went so far as to make a claim that that was a return and it threw people into a bad situation. Got people's lives messed up. I don't remember all what he preached because I care less. But they cannot deny that they saw something. But you'll notice sensitivity to it. And understanding is entirely missing. Now, I'm not trying to say, hey, I'm a smart guy up here. I got something nobody else has got in this church of doing. That. Look, I'm going to tell you flat, I am responsible for Lee Day and this congregation, and I care not two bits outside of these walls. I don't have an obligation to any other pastors or anybody else's people. I got an obligation and a degree to preach what I'm supposed to preach, and if people want it, they can have it. They don't want it, fine and dandy. But when you look at these wise and foolish virgins, you will begin to see that the foolish were too dull in sensitivity and too dull in their minds. And the greatest battle is in the mind. Now, I'm too close to some people. I just don't understand them. And I'm not going to waste my time. When the foolish begin coming around and making inquiries, they said, hey, you're on your own. Where have you been the last 10 years? I'm a little bit too much like Brother Paulberg, but I don't say it. He said, Lee, don't tell me a man can be around 10 years in this message and not know things. Forget it. I said, well, that's nice, Alphonse. I take a little different tack. Some are low, slow comers. Well, he says, not that slow. Well, I agree to a degree, but I still got to watch myself because I'm a very hasty type of person. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you see people loafing around for 10 solid years, and they've been fighting all along and dragging their feet, I'm a little inclined to believe they're not getting too much now. Listen, do you realize for the first time we're looking the Bible square in the face with Gorbachev apologizing to the churches and opening the doors so that Russia is once more a Christian nation, and the Word of God only speaks to the Christians. It doesn't speak to the Mohammedans and the Buddhists and the Taoists and the Confucianists and the Spiritists. It talks of Christians, of which the Pope is the head. For the first time, roughly 1 billion Christians, so-called, and the Pope's got the gold. And we don't care who's got the oil. And we don't care if Libya's got gas and all. When the Pope says, I got the gold, Libya caves in like a wet paper bag, and everybody else does. And though the panda coin, for some strange reason, the first minting that people paid maybe 500 bucks for, is now worth 3,000. I got one. Isn't going to do me one bit of good. You know why? Because the government has right on the records at this minute, they never took off with the great Franklin Delano, atheistic, God knows what, hypocrite Democrat, had put on the books. Bring it all in. And the Congress will not remove that item. There is nobody safe. I don't care what man comes in this church and tells you what he thinks of the government or the money system or anything else. You listen to Lee Dale or get out. I'm lowering the boom on you, so listen right now. I've been through this since I'm 20 years of age, maybe 54 years of it. Don't tell me what I'm talking about, because I do. I read those books, the Rothschilds, and all that junk. The Jews have the paper. Rome has the gold. What are you sitting here talking about some big thing you think you know about government or finance or anything else? You tell me. Remember Peter said, thy money perish with thee. I don't want to be too blunt, because I'm a pretty rotten preacher up here, and I use some pretty tough language, but Dr. Phillips categorically says in English, that means to hell with you and your money. It's exactly what it is, exactly what it is from the Greek. In other words, both you and your gold will fry in hell. It'll melt. For the first time. And everybody said, Russia's the Antichrist. Ha! What is Gorbachev worried about? He's worried about really nothing, except he wants to be a great man in a great country. But you see, God took a whole Nebuchadnezzar's heart. And Darius's heart. And he's just got a hold of old Gorbachev. Not for salvation, I don't suppose. But to bring him right around. He's got to come where the gold is, brother, sister. Sure, we're right at that place. So, the wise and the foolish virgin are here. And the foolish virgin will never know what the wise know, because the wise are sensitive to the move of the Spirit through the mind, the living Word of God. And she doesn't battle anymore with these so-called tricky things that Brother Branham said. She just believes it. She's used to knowing that the prophet is right. She's used to knowing that vindication supersedes anything, because vindication is manifestation, which is light. Now, what do you need light for? For the sake of light? No! For the sake of what's there, that the light has to shine on. Now, come on. What's to be shone on? The showbread. Where does the showbread come from? It comes from the wheat of God. It is the bread of God. It's that manna, that special heavenly spiritual manna. It's those loaves that God prepared, and the bread of the last day. And it's the bread that makes the poultice. You rub in your eyes, you can begin to open up your eyes. Manifestation. And the manifestation has awakened all the virgins. But five can't get it. They're not meant to get it. Now listen, the fact that the wise virgin get it doesn't mean they supersede anything. It doesn't mean they're extra wonderful. Not at all. It doesn't mean they're separated as though there's something within themselves, although that is true with the something being of God. So don't play that too far. Like Brother Branham said, healing is within you, but don't get carried away with it. Watch where you're going with it. Don't take it too far, he warned us. So we can't take this too far. But we realize there is a separation. And the separation, Brother Branham categorically said, is by the Word. And he said, the sun that rose in the east is now setting in the west. It's the same one. It's the same message. The same pillar of fire that brought the Word is here revealing the Word. And this time the people are mature enough to get it. And what are they getting? Well, you know what it is. It's the mystery of God Himself. Now, let me read it here. Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being like sensitive eyes. To see that light isn't given to blind you, although it does, is to make available to you what is there for you, the same as the Apostle Paul. Paul's blindness was only temporary, and it was physical. To smack him down and pay attention, that was the manifestation. What was manifested? Christ the Word. Eyes being enlightened. Laodicea, wretched, miserable, naked, blind. Rise amongst the dead, foolish virgins, wise virgins. Eyes your understanding. There you are. The voice has said to me, any man, listen to that man. Sensitive. Now, since then, it's a matter of just word, 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 word. There you are. Eyes your understanding being enlightened. You know what's the hope of his calling, but the riches of the glory inherited in the saints. Now let's go all the way to the book of Revelation and check that out. Revelation 10. Because that's where you got to go. Here's the mighty messenger coming down. God himself, who is spirit, in a pillar of fire. Coming down with the covenant rainbow. The voice of a lion. That's the first church age. Lion. Then comes the next spirit. Cat. Man. Eagle. But a lion. The same one that brings the message is here revealing it. Couldn't have it before. Because out of it came the seven seals, the seventh seal, and the seven thunders. Maturity. It's all over, grown up unto Christ, as it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Then watch what it says, verse 7. But in the days of the voice, of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Melchizedek will be priest. Now you tell me some theologian, some scholar could have preached this before and understand it. I say, you are a nice person, but you are sick. And you might qualify as a foolish virgin. But you never qualify as a wise virgin. You couldn't do it. Because you're trying to tell us then that you had a capacity ahead of God's own schedule. Can't do it. Oh, wait. Let me tell you very, very succinctly. If there is a sun up there, and there is, and there's a whole lot of planets between us and the sun, and even light traveling 186 miles, 1,000 miles per second, if there's a planet one-third closer to the sun than we are, it'll get the light quicker than we get it. They weren't meant to get that light. There was something about them, no matter how wonderful they were, in their own church order and their own place, as tremendous Christians, there was something they couldn't have. They weren't ready for it. Now here it is right here, the mystery of God. It doesn't say mysteries of God as though God had a lot of mysteries, although that's true too. But it tells you God himself comes into view, because who is the one that appears? Now it says, come out and meet him. What woke those virgins up? Well, let's read what it says in Ephesians. Come on, let's look at the chronology. There's a chronology in Ephesians. Fifth chapter. Now it says right here, all things are reproved. That are reproved are made manifest by the light. What's there to make manifest is light. Now, the light precedes the waking up. The voice that awakes the virgins from amongst the dead doesn't say. But you know who it is. It's the same one that brought the show. The shout is not waking the dead and bringing them out of the ground. That's the voice. It's a shout. It's the manifestations and the shout that actually wake up these virgins and they fall in line. Because you see, the manifestation of the light, which is the tremendous deeds and ministry the man had, that's not it. That's not it. It's what the word comes forth is it. Then it says, see that you walk circumspectly. Now watch there. There is a manifestation which is light. There is a voice that separates them. The rising from the dead. And if the when the wise and foolish separate is when light comes to the wise, the unwise turn it down. You know why? They don't mean to. They just can't take it. They can't take it. Can't take it. They're just not there. They can't have it. It won't work. Now what it says then. When this happens, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't be like the unwise virgin. They're virgins. They're good people. See, there's something there. They've quit churches, everything else. I know people right now. They say, hey, it's no good the church is finished. It's all over. But they never come to the message. I know one fella, he right off the bat, after he saved, he fought his own people on one God. He's right here in Ohio. Not too many miles away. Very nice fella. Can no more take his message or nothing. Fights right. Fight anybody on the grounds of being a good Christian. Fights the government. Wants to maintain proper law and order. Been involved in lawsuits to keep his own Christians in school, in a proper school. Godly man. Understands there's one God. No problem. But he's stuck right there. Now, he's better off in the Jesus-only bunch. Because they made Brother Branham a false prophet and devil. This man just turns his nose up and walks away. Is he a foolish virgin? Certainly could be. I don't know. But I want you to know there's something in here that the Bible speaks of and gives it to us very, very plainly. All right. We're looking in at this. And at the same time, remember the word wise is phronio, which means to have in mind, be mindful of, and think of, and what you think of, you talk about. So the wise virgin is one that literally thinks. And you better believe, to qualify in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, from Ephesians 1 and 17, you are not thinking your own thoughts. You're thinking the thoughts of God, as given by the prophet. Now, the scripture over here in Matthew 25, that we read about the white throne. And we'll look at verse 34. And it says, then shall the king say on the right to them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and here the king drive you in the foundation of the world. All right, that's a good one. Then 46, and shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the major part in that is, reading verse 34, then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepared for you in the foundation of the world. These righteous go into eternal life. They go into what they didn't have. What didn't they have? The glorified bodies. They never had them. They never had that promise. Never had that, evidently, where they have a theophonic form is more than I know. I think perhaps they might have, but I can't argue the question. Brother Brennan didn't tell us. I would say that every foolish virgin that dies all through the ages would have to go to some form of body. I believe that crowd that Brother Branham saw, these are millions. He said, I doubt if they're all bright. I don't know. I can't tell you. I think he saw just about everybody that was under his ministry. And they came in justified, sanctified, never got any further. So all right, you're looking at it. Now, the white throne is not portrayed here according to theologians. I know of nobody outside of Brother Branham who made this white throne. I am not saying that others didn't. I just haven't run across them. Perhaps I read the wrong books. Maybe lots of them. But men like Schofield call this the white throne, don't make this the white throne. They make this the judgment of nations after the great tribulation. So they're welcome to it. But Brother Branham said different. Brother Branham's a vindicated prophet. Now these righteous people that go into everlasting life, they could be 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 8. For that righteous man, Lot, dwelling amongst them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was not taken up with the word of the hour. He only saw the handwriting on the wall, and that was his whole distress. God can never speak. God can never come on the scene. But there's two things, blessing and cursing. I don't care what you say. The minute that God put Adam in the human body, the blessing and the cursing lay right there. As long as there are human bodies, God can approach no man in any other way than in blessing and cursing. No way. That's the law of the scripture. You try to find me wrong, you'll never find me wrong. It's impossible. And this is why people get themselves so messed up in their thinking on the scripture. They get so carried away, they get legalistic and scared when they hear a curse. Oh my, I could be born again and still lost. If you're born again, you will never be lost. And let's face it, my brother, my sister, if you were a part of God, you could never be truly lost, which means the lake of fire. You are sheep astray and a price paid to bring you back to your inheritance. It's your body. It's going to get the redemption. Because your soul always was taken care of by God. God never lost a part of himself, never will lose a part of himself. How could you deny? Oh, I know we get crazy thoughts. Because we're stupid and we're human. We just don't indulge ourselves in the wonderful privilege and delicacy to think God's thoughts. And think God's thoughts is to put away all questions and doubts and just believe what he said. These are called righteous, and I think it's like Lot there. Brother Branham said there the foolish are saved and justified. They're sanctified, but they don't go to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't do it. If they're not full of the Spirit, they have not entered into the rest and cannot come under 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And you are troubled, rest with us. when the Lord Jesus Christ shall reveal him with his mighty messengers, angels, flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus. At the presence of God, the two things happen, the cursing and the blessing. The blessing is entering into rest, which is entering into the full stream of the Holy Ghost, or God himself. Yeah. It's all over as far as the rest is concerned. You jump 1,000 years at this point. You become like Abraham. Abraham, at the time of the promised son, before he became flesh, and was delivered to Abraham and Sarah. Positively, at that time, Abraham believed in a God who quickens the dead and calls things which are not as though they were. Now listen carefully. Abraham called God, the one who quickens the dead. Number one, that cannot refer simply to Isaac, because Isaac was not killed. He was potentially killed, but he wasn't killed. So we got number one, God quickening Abraham's body, which was turning back to a young man. Now, at the same time, you're looking at the factor of the coming one in flesh. And the point is this, God raising the dead. There's a part that God doesn't have to raise. They're not even dead. You follow what I'm saying? Abraham himself was quickened in order to have a child. And when that child was asked of God to be delivered up and killed, Abraham said, I would, but the boy did not die. He was spared. So you got the same thing today. The same quickening God that brings the people out of the dust does not kill us. And the same God we believe who speaks in a language that calls things as though they were not. Brother Branham did the same thing. He said, we are now at White Throne. So it's all over. Now, do you think anybody but the wise virgins can understand that and get that? Come on. Look at that. Unless you throw your mind wide open to the Word of God, as the prophet said, you'll never get it. I don't care who you are. Sit here till you're blind, deaf, and dumb. Paralyzed, petrified, or rot. You've got to throw your mind wide open. It doesn't become a question. It's a fact. Vindication theorem takes everything as factual. And if he says black is green, then it's green. You'll find out down the road it is. Just happen to cover a bit of tar or something. Wipe the tar off, it's green. Or it'll be gangrene. You'll rot. That's happening right today with AIDS and syphilis and everything else. See? All right. The blessing and the cursing. See? Now, it said they'll be punished. But what else? They'll be glorified. This right here, coming down, finally taking absolute headship over the church. Because in 2 years, Brother Branham was gone. He decreased and God increased. Headship in the church. Bringing the bride more and more into rest and the others into more and more confusion. And remember, it's got to be in the land the same as in the church. And look at the American government. You never saw anything so stink in your life as this American government. There's no doubt absolutely that Bush will be another Hoover, as far as I can see, or anybody else can see. It isn't his fault, but he just... How's he going to get anywhere? Reagan was the one man that could go to all the people and on television, and Congress pulled his horns, and they're scared to death. Bush won't do what he could do. All he's got to do is revive the Grace Commission and put the Grace Commission on the air. You think he'll do it? Let's write him a letter and ask him to do it. Let's send him a telegram. Let's talk to some congressman of the highest order that can get to Bush. Let me tell you, Brother Branham categorically said that no politician, no matter how hard he tries, can make a right decision. Bush can out Reagan. He's not going to do it. How is he going to do it? How are you going to outshine Reagan, the man who welcomed Gorbachev? Nixon opened up China. What's that alongside of Russia? When was China a real Christian nation? True Christians, yes. Oh, we're moving fast, brother, sister, ever since then. So I'm trying to show you, everything is in confusion. And the curse is in the land. But so is the glory of God. Let's see what's in the land. We'll get your questions on Sunday morning. Who needs your questions anyway at this point? I'm just kidding. Let's look at the dates. Here's the land. Here's everything. As it was getting worse. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, the children of Israel could not steadfast look to him of that which is abolished. America's gone down the drain, going down the drain. And their minds are blinded. Yeah. A senator in one of the New England states, and one in Mississippi, will tie up bills and destroy the nation for a pork barrel scheme of a few billion dollars. And the rest of congressmen, knowing when their turn comes, these guys will vote because they're all a greedy bunch of filthy people. They'll go along, and the president can't have line-by-line veto. Why didn't the president organize out of those men some fine men who will help with the line-by-line and come before the people? They ain't going to do it. Go on, find somebody. Write them a letter. See if they'll do it. They're like Belshazzar when Daniel said, the kingdom's gone, it's shot. Oh, he said, what a great person. We'll make you the third ruler. Third ruler of what? Let yourself a pope. He'll burn. You bet God comes down with us with the fiery furnace, fiery chariots. He'll burn. That pope will incinerate and everybody will incinerate them. America shows it's ready for incineration. It shows right in the community lifestyle America. Then what's in the church? Church is gone. Foolish virgin? Snoring away. A lot of the wise are upset and worried. It isn't so bad. If they kill us, it's not so bad. If they make us suffer, it's not so bad. And I don't like the thought any more than you do. But you kind of get reconciled. What are you supposed to do? When you see what Shekharsky suffered in Siberia and in Russia before he got out, deliberately went into a not just a fast, but a death fast, until they got so scared they forced food into him and he gave him terrible violent reactions and come right back fighting. If a Jew wanting to get to the homeland and free wanted it that bad, don't tell me a born-again Christian can't take anything that anything's going to come his way. That's the way God made us. Amen. I tell you, we've been just kind of pictured like fish, and if the sea is a sea of blood, we'll swim. we've been called the calf, you know, to suffer. We'll sacrifice. But I tell you one thing, we're eagles, we're going to soar above by the grace of God. I'm not saying this as a man now. I'm saying this in the word for the bride. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere to do it. Now, at the same time, now this is what's going to happen here. It said when the veil is taken away by the Spirit of God, there's going to be a liberty. And our faces will be open. In other words, we will be sensitive to what is going on, and that will bring the light of the Word. Look, if you finally come there in there, you're in good position to get somewhere. But if you're still mumbling about that, like these stupid jerks that are now writing, oh, there was a missile sent up. Smartest brains in America said there was no missile sent up, there was nothing up there. It's like that goof-off Pentecostal in New Brunswick that said, oh, this business of cellular therapy, the injection of prenatal cells, nothing to it. Within 6 weeks, Time magazine said 12 pages of it, and I've still got it in my briefcase. And now they're planting prenatal fetal cells in the brain for Parkinson's disease. Now, how much will men who want to return to their former glory of 25 years not want testicular shots taken from a tiny male child, and they'll pay a big price for it? Come on, smarten up. Don't be a bunch of dopes. And there's no rejection of protein because it's prenatal. Women and men trying to recapture the youth. And it works. Dr. Guy went to Chernobyl with cells to inject the people to help them. But you can't have it in America. Everything is a quack in America unless you take drugs. So your hair will fall out. And the side effects are worse than the disease. So the drug company can get rich. Ask Norman what he went through. When I phoned Tom Cash, I said, what about this, Tom? Well, he said, the first thing to do is kill you. And they're supposed to give Norman a slip of paper telling every side effect. How many of you folk have been to a doctor recently and he told you every side effect? Go soon. You can soon. You need to just report him he's in trouble. They don't care two bits. Oh, there's a few, Mike. That's America. God sent the light, and it's going to get worse and worse. But listen, those with the veil torn aside, with the open mind, will be changed to the glory of the Lord. Now, just a minute. Where did we hear that before? Christ, the outraying of God. Christ, the glory of God. And the bride catching up to her Redeemer. In full manifestation. And what's going to bring it? A ministry. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus is going to come and do it. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus isn't going to come and do it. It's going to be a ministry. He comes and it's done, but it's a ministry and it's by a prophet. Amen. Now, you try and make the world believe that. Well, bless God, I got as much as Whitney Brown. What do you mean, hair? Or money? Or breeches? Halitosis? Gastritis? What are you talking about? You got as much. The church always was built upon a certain type of government, brother, sister. And every church age had one messenger from God and only one. And the first and last, according to the principles of Alpha and Omega, both had to be a prophet. He brings it with it. He closes it out. I don't understand. I know how to understand. Let me understand the Word of God. Now listen, what's this man going to be like? Renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, by the light shining, by something that shines that make you to know that this is the truth of God, he commends himself to every man's conscience, meaning this, you can believe me and stake your life on it. I wouldn't do that. Well, the Apostle Paul said you do it. Well, that's the Apostle Paul. Well, why don't you raise him out of the ground and talk to him? Because 14 million people argue what he said. I tell you what, I'll go canvass some of the richest people in all the world. And I'm sure I can scrape up $14 million to anybody who can bring Paul the Apostle back here and tell us what he meant. I think even the Pope would contribute a few million dollars. Who's going to bring him back? Vindication theorem, brothers and sisters, the one way God does it. Everybody else dies as fools. Dull, insensitive. You say, could people that are going to be come up in that resurrection be insensitive and dull? That's what the Bible says. Well, you men in, and a bride is really sharp. Oh, yes, she's really sharp because she's put on the mind of Christ. You say, well, I don't know if I can believe that. You see, you're full of doubts again. You're full of doubts. Why be full of doubt? As I stand here, I'm fully confident. What I'm telling you is, thus saith the word of God by a vindicated prophet. I'm not worried. I've got my keys, he told me. He told you, it's right on the tape. He said, don't worry what's in the middle. So I don't worry what's in the middle. And I've told you dozens of times, if I've got one board here that's solid with no breaks, and it's oak at both ends, it's oak in the middle. Amen. Leave the middle to God. Simple as A, B, C, and then twice as simple. Now listen, but if our gospel be hidden, what does he call it, a gospel now? Moses' law, Paul's gospel, William Branham's message. If our gospel is hid to them that are lost, In whom, notice what's in them. The God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now what's going to happen? This is going to happen. That is going to happen. And shine unto us because we've opened our minds. Oh, we're a cult. No problem. We've been maligned. The Prussia, which maybe I never should have used the word, but I did use it. We got an answer on our ad, you know, from U.S. Today, the news. My nice man, he told Joe, he said, well, look, he said, I believe in Brother Branham. So Joe phoned him, and he said, well, he said, now, of course, he said, what do you think of this Prussia doctrine? Well, he said, I know it's a false doctrine of the devil. Joe said, you're very astute, he said, because no doubt the way you heard it, it is of the devil. It's wrong. Now, he said, have you heard it the right way? When Joe got finished, he said, you know what? He said, if you're right, he said, we're in trouble. Tell him the whole thing sometime, Joe. Write it down and tell us. It was wisdom on his part, the wisdom of God that drew the man out. Now, let him listen, but he can never come here. There's no way he'd be 6, 7, 8 years behind you. No more than I let my wife try to teach me doctrine would I allow a man in this pulpit to attempt to teach you. If you want him, I just leave, that's all. I wasted years and years, and I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Too far down the road, brother, sister. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Show me when you Branham did any different. And ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It tells you right there what William Branham has, we have also. And the end result is the complete imaging. Christ on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and every son and daughter of New Jerusalem in identical not just relationship and harmony, but substance and in harmony. But there is an order, and it never changes. That's what you're looking at here, brother, sister. Now, let's look at these people. 2 Thessalonians. After this one comes down out of heaven, this is the one that brings us Ephesians 1:17. This is Revelation 10:1-7, seventh seal, which contains the seven thunders. And don't tell me the seal isn't open. And don't tell me you don't have everything to put us in a rapture because Brother Branham said so. Now, what does he say here? He says here in the second chapter, the 13th verse, after telling what's going to happen up here under Antichrist, foolish virgin and the whole bunch of them, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The rest of them couldn't take the truth. Why? There wasn't a place in them for that word. There wasn't a place in the first church age either for that word, though it was there potentially. But it couldn't happen till now. The true revelation of God and our eternal destinies could not be revealed until after the fact. Nothing ever is. And the fact has to be at this hour. And we're entering into it. Now, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord. That is not born again experience. No. He's talking of a bunch that are going to get out of here. They've wakened from amongst the dead. As Brother Branham said, we have already had a spiritual resurrection. We are risen from amongst the dead. We are alive and we are awake. We are knowledgeable. And the same man says, always looking down the road, always looking back down the road, but never knowing what's going on. Now, if we qualify in there as looking down, looking forward, and looking back, but not knowing what is going on, there's something wrong with us. We have to know what's going on. Brother Branham did not preach a static message. It's static only in one way, and that is you cannot add to it or take from it. But from there on, it's electric and moving. And it keeps us constantly aware and knowing what is going on. And we see it. And this, as I said, is also, I read the 14th verse also. Notice in 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. In other words, you listen to what Brother Branham said at the end time, whether you hear it on a tape or it's written in a book. You have it. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and given us everlasting consolation, good of the grace, comfort your heart, and establish you in every good work, word and work. And so on down the line. That brings us, as I said, and preached it already, showed you, in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 18, which we read. And that is the fact of the veil torn away, and we are growing more and more into the image which has been presented to us. So, that's about as far as I can take you. What we look at, the foolish virgin, the wise virgin, and what is going on now. There will not be, there cannot be, the foolish virgin coming in and being glorified after the dead come out of the ground and be at the wedding supper. There's no way. They will die. They can die off in pestilence, die off this and that, but they cannot die off. They cannot come into, you know, or they could die by way of some treachery, antichrist or otherwise, hunted down. The Bible said the dragon spurts out water and destroys them. There's going to be destruction. Then Christ comes back with the bride, levels everything, sets the millennial reign up for the justification. One day. And even then, everything is moving right to eternity, right into it. Now, brother, sister, whether we want to recognize it or not, let us begin to adjust our hearts and our minds and every part of us to the awakened condition that we're supposed to be in, and realize that time and eternity have already mixed. At that rate, our bodies have already mixed. Those that are going to be here, I might not be in the count of my age, perfectly legitimate, because I'm past my 70 by 4 years. I've got no hold in anything. Could be here, I don't know. But there are people right now, like Brother Branham said to his son Billy Paul, you'll not be an old man until the sharks are swimming where your feet are standing right now. There are people right now who positively must have at this point that process going on in their bodies right now, and it's unknown to the world. And I would say it's unknown to them. I don't believe for one moment that Abraham had a true understanding or inkling of what was going on within him. I know that Sarah sure didn't know. I don't know what they had thought of how the baby was going to come. I know that everybody but Brother Branham has taught or misteaching how two old people, now for Abraham to get rejuvenated, that's not too bad. We've heard of men getting shots. Well, you never had heard of a woman ever getting new ovaries and a complex setup for bringing birth to a child. They just thought some great miracle, dear old great-grandma, 90 years of age, had a baby. Hogwash. God doesn't go against nature. They were turned back to young people. They can't understand. They said, this is a wrong point here. The chronology's out. The man that wrote the book of Abraham and Sarah going down there, and he 100 years old and she 90, and this young wolf wanting her. That shouldn't belong here. It belongs 6 chapters back. Like fun it did. How come Brother Brown is the only man to understand that? Melchizedek. Yeah, we're living in the last day. And, brother, sister, count yourself wise virgin. Sensitive to the manifestation that is light to bring you a word. And going with the word. Now you tell me, what more evidence do you want? Aren't you trying to be better people? Aren't you trying to live for God? What more do you want? If you think God's going to give you some big manifestation or something, I got news for you. Forget it. You missed the mark a mile. You never re-prove what is proven. I can see Jesus at Lazarus' grave. Now he said, I let him die and rot and stink here for your sake. Lazarus, come forth. Here he is. Now take his clothes on. Dress him right. Now, please, somebody hit him over the head again and kill him, and we'll bury him the second time. And I'll raise him the second time for you people that like another demonstration. Now, do you think that's the way it was? No. Well, let's go a little further. Let's erase that one. Let's say, well, Jesus said, now, all power in heaven and earth is mine because the Father's in me. Now, this man stands here, but I tell you, Peter, tell you what we're going to do. Let me tell you what you're going to do. And High Priest Caiaphas. We are going to kill him, throw him back in the grave, 4 days later stinking, Caiaphas, I'll tell you, and you raise him. Is that how it's done? I'm serious now. I'm not making a joke. Why is it then if this is in the minds of the Pentecostal people today? When that's been proven, and that's been proven, what makes anybody think he's got to come behind and do anything? No, that is ridiculous, brother, sister. Oh, how smart people are. You know something? You have an ordinary carnal mind. Let's say that there's a leak of liquid gold coming out of a tank and hardly anybody knows about it. But one fella, he finds out that tank is dripping and he tells his friends, what are you? They just come right along and fill their little buckets and walk away. They don't try to make more holes in it. Try to find another tank. They're smart enough to know. Or money's falling off an armored truck. And they can grab a handful. Most people go ahead and grab it. They don't worry about trying to find another armored car with a hole in it. They just grab it. Then why don't they do this here? If I've got something that I know to be proven, something that really works, why not stay with it? Why not count yourself as a part of it? Say, well, I'll take that. It's not hard. I keep telling you, I tell you over and over, when he said the shout is a message, and I said, Brother Branham, I've heard you say a lot of strange things. That's the strangest I've ever heard. I don't think I can take it. Right away I said, I heard myself saying, yes, but when was the prophet ever wrong? Hallelujah. Shout's a message. If he'd have said it's a bag of green beans, Jack and the Beanstalk going to crawl down, I'd have said, hey, there must be something to it, because I've never found him wrong yet. Look a hole right in you. Never made a mistake. Listen, what does it matter? Why get involved with him? Get involved with the product. I've got some mighty good things from Procter & Gamble. I don't go to Procter & Gamble and say, what about this, what about that? I say, hey, you got a thing I like here. It's called Dawn. I think Procter & Gamble makes, somebody does. It cuts grease like hardly anything cuts grease. It's not too bad in your hands either. I say, I like the product. I don't go there and say, now, how is this thing made? Couldn't make something. I just buy to take the product. I like to tell Nissan a thing or two about their cars. But Procter & Gamble, with their products, I'd like to find out. I'm not interested in finding how Swiss make their chicken base for broth. I know it tastes just like homemade chicken soup. I'd like to get my hands on some. Then what do I care about that? What is that my business? If he delivered me a product, then not you, I'll use the product. Is that sensible? Sure, that's the way to look at the whole thing. That's what it is. Let's rise and be his name. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness and goodness to us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you have been kind and good to us, because when we were not even thinking of this, and there was nothing in us to commend ourselves to it, here you came on the scene and you did it, And then when it was explained, it was only your grace that allowed us to even open our minds for an explanation, which in many instances, Lord, is still no explanation on the ground that there's many things unfathomable, but we know it's the truth. So, Lord, help us to just read the writing as you wrote it and gave it through this man. The message, Lord, that he preached, the truth. And now we know at the end time he did come, and I know many people, Lord, to say, who is this crazy William Branham talking about Melchizedek, some big thing? And, oh, God, the wise are always made foolish. I'm glad, Lord, we're not smart. We're not wise with the wisdom of this world, the sophism and all those things, Lord. But we've been given something that makes us to know. And then a mind that somehow can open up to it. And by your grace, Lord, we're going to be in that rapture. By your grace, Lord, there's not going to be anybody standing here that misses it. By your grace, Lord, we count ourselves a part of it. We're glad to count ourselves a part of it. We believe we are a part of it. They were marching right now, a Holy Ghost city, waiting for our next world manifestation, where the streets are paved with gold. In the meantime, Lord, we know we're going, coming back to this earth for further sanctification, and we thank you for it. We don't know much about it, but we're going to enjoy it, because we know that although this is wonderful here, we admit we're a part of it, in the sense that it's all complex part from you and of you. We're going to come back in the right form, the right way, in a greater glorified measure, right in that image as never before. How can we thank you enough for it, Lord? May we just have our lives filled with your joy and your praise and the optimism of our faith, Lord, just moving in as never before. Father, let the spirit of faith, resurrection faith, come amongst us as never before, O God. Transforming energy going on now, though unaware. Too fast and fine a vibration to even know it. But in the Spirit we know these things, O God. And by your grace, we're going to go through, because it's going to be your grace that takes us through. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. We're going to go back and have a little lunch there, Brother and Sister Paul. Bring the family. That's part of the family here. And on Sunday we'll answer some more questions. And that, these questions, you didn't ask that first, but I ran across it and I thought we should look at it. Now, on top of that, I don't know what anybody's plans are for the new year. Now, that the same old thing goes on. I got to eat somewhere. I can eat at home, no problem. It's no problem at all. But if people want to come together any old time, look, that's fine. You just plan what you want. Let the people know they can do what they want about it. That's a free and easy little setup we have here. Whatever you want to do, you do it, right? Okay. Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.